This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
We want our next bid to be up right now. $600 is where the current bid is for the Bay with the KNC Masterpiece, Brian Broaddus, Craig Ludwig, and Mike Adams. That is World Series experience, Stanley Cup champion, Super Bowl champion, scout. So there you go right there. And that's only for $600 and 4 hours of Top Golf. So, yes, Kel, you're in? You're already betting on it?
I'll be there.
877-881-1053. It is for Jared Sandler swinging for a cause.
I hope Bacon bids on it.
Bacon will not bid on it. I guarantee it.
That'd be awesome.
If the next caller that bids says their name is Bacon, I will buy them three drinks. All right, if they can handle it. I could do something else, but I don't know what. But yeah, man, that's what we're looking forward to. Is this Sunday we're going to be doing that, and we're going to be out there partying. The entire station's going to be out there partying, and I do believe our good friend Mike Bassick will be there partying as well this Sunday. Mike, are you a good top golfer?
No, not really.
Okay,
but I've gotten a lot better at golf through the last 3 or 4 months.
Have you ever played golf?
I haven't played in like 7 or 8 days.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the movie Caddyshack?
It's a good question.
I have. Okay. Multiple times. Good movie.
Weird story that I don't know if I want to tell right now, but my dad has moles in his yard, and he's trying to figure out how to get rid of them. I was like, dynamite.
I have them on my skin. Do you recommend dynamite on my skin?
Yes.
Oh, my good God. How did it get out of control so quickly?
All right, let's talk a little baseball, Mike. We had the report yesterday from Bob Nightingale that the Rangers are deemed the favorite right now in the action for Anthony Rendon. And then Evan Grant said that they have met face-to-face. There has been a face-to-face meeting. When it comes to Boris clients, Boris in general, and the Rangers, what's that relationship like?
It's a good relationship. He also has a very good relationship with the Washington Nationals, too. So Boris, as much as we can maybe crush on him and say he's horrible, he's actually the best at his job in the world when it comes to being an agent.
That's why I hate
really
him, because
weird.
He gets all the money.
Yeah, because he helps out the players the most. But I would say I was a little bit surprised with this just because over the weekend, and I can't remember where I read it from. I don't think it was T.R. Sullivan, but I remember T.R. Sullivan, and I used it yesterday in Nuggets on Miguel Andujar, how the Rangers have had discussions with the Yankees on possibly trading for Andujar, who doesn't have a spot now with the Yankees because of what Gio Urshela did. And then I can't remember if it was in that report, but I was reading multiple things. And then one of the things over the weekend said, well, the Rangers might not really be in on Rendon because they already know kind of what the price is going to be, and they thought it was going to be too much. And then last night, early this morning, you read, wait, the Rangers have had a face-to-face meeting with them, and maybe there's a strong possibility that it's going to end up being a marriage.
Would there be any possibility for a position shift for Andujar? Because quite frankly, I'm sorry if this hurts people's feelings. I think you can look at it and say that the Rangers have no infielders.
Well, I'd say Elvis has to be, just at his salary.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's $16 million that he has to be in the infield. And right now, I still think he's an average defensive shortstop. I know there's a lot of people that kind of have things that say he's below average. And I know his range is not what it was when he was younger, but I still think he can play shortstop for now. And you're right, with Andujar, he's not a very good defensive third baseman. He doesn't have horrible hands. I just wonder if you gave him a first baseman's mitt. He puts up the numbers to be a good first baseman. So I'm with you. If you traded for Andujar, it does not have to be at third base.
And then as far as Rendon goes, I'm curious, and this is something we kind of kicked around earlier. What would this mean for the Rangers, the franchise, and would it move the needle with the fan base? Because I know he's an awesome player, top six MVP 3 times already. He's only 29, but I don't know if he's like a household name for a lot of just casual baseball fans. So would this move the needle with the fan base, and would move the needle for the team?
I think it would because they just won the World Series. And so he was the best player on the World Series team. Now, I know Strasburg won the MVP in the World Series, and Juan Soto made a lot of noise because of being 20 years old and how great he is at 20 years old. But the best player on the team that just won the World Series was led by Anthony Rendon. So if you were able to pull off taking the best player off the team that just won the championship, I do think that would move the needle for Ranger fans. And you would see maybe more people say, you know what, I am going to get a 10-game package or a 20-game package. I'm not exactly sure how it all works. But I do think this would bring more excitement to the 2020 season if you landed the biggest position player on the free agent market.
Man, and then that money right there, if you're pulling in that money, A, it justifies the player. B, it does justify them continuing to add players.
You know, I saw where Scott Boras said this, and look, it's probably a half truth. A lot of people are good at giving half truths about stuff like this, that they've already paid for 2 years of Bryce Harper's contract in Philadelphia because of the upsell in tickets that they had once they sign him, that it's already paid for the first 2 years of his contract, the ticket sales that they were able to produce. Now, I don't know if that's totally true. That's coming from the agent. So I bet there's a truth in there that it's probably paid for maybe the majority of the first season and a little bit of the second season of Bryce Harper's contract, that that's how much hype he brought to Philadelphia. But I don't know what it would bring to Texas and the new stadium. First of all, I don't know the ticket sales of the new stadium. I know that they're doing pretty good. I don't know if they're doing awesome. If they sign Anthony Rendon next week at the winter meetings, I don't know how many people will then call up the Texas Rangers and order tickets, season tickets for next year, because I don't think individual tickets are on sale yet. So I don't know what it would bring in that value where you'd say, if we sign him, we immediately get this much money, which pays for this much of the contract.
This question is pretty interesting from the 469. If the Rangers acquire Rendon, would Josh Jung switch to shortstop? I think
he's not a shortstop. I've seen him play it in college, and I get it. He moved to shortstop in college. He's not a shortstop.
Would you kind of look and consider then maybe the possibility of that being a trade piece down the road?
It could be. Let's see how he develops. He's still a ways away. Mm-hmm. I know people want to project that everybody's just going to be awesome. There's a dude named Dylan Tate that was drafted higher than Josh Jung was.
Oh.
And that dude still hasn't made the major leagues yet, as far as I know. Maybe he's pitched a game or two in it, but he's been a very bad pitcher. That was the first pitcher taken in the 2014 draft that was a can't-miss guy. And he's missed so bad that he's been in multiple organizations, and everybody that gets him is like, he can't pitch. Now, I'm not saying that's the fate of Josh Jung, but then to put the opposite on him, that he's going to automatically be a great player, we don't know. We hope so. We don't know. This isn't NFL drafting where you take a dude in the top 10 and you just pretty much know he's going to be a contributor to your team pretty soon. I like him. You can move him to first base if you feel like he's really close. He's not really close from last year playing a little bit in the minor leagues. He did great in the minor leagues, but he didn't do it in double A. He didn't do it in just a level below the major leagues. We have to see what he's going to do in high A ball or double A this year to really have an idea if he can compete at a major league level.
What do you think about the future prospects of Addison Russell?
I was just about to ask that question. We were asked that on Twitter last night.
And not just in regards to the Rangers, but like just across Major League Baseball, because he's 25.
Okay.
He plays good enough defense. Not great, but good enough defense. He's had a WAR above 2 4 times and already had a WAR above 3 2 other times. But then obviously he brings a ton of off-the-field baggage with him. But Major League Baseball, I mean, the Cubs showed. They didn't cut him when he got suspended for domestic violence. They cut him when he wasn't playing well anymore and he wasn't worth the hassle. Do you think he will get picked up somewhere?
Yes, I do. Yeah, are you putting this also to me as the Rangers? Should they be interested?
No, I'm just more curious from a cross-baseball spectrum.
Yeah, I am curious about the Rangers because I don't think that they want to bring that into the new stadium.
He doesn't really have a position anyways. Like I said, Elvis is making $15, $16 million. Do I think Elvis will be the shortstop? I think he has 4 years left on his contract. I'm not 100% sure. No, he will not be the shortstop for the 4 years left on his contract. One more to two more years, he will be the shortstop, and then they will probably have to move him off of that position. And I don't know what to do at that point because right now you're not locked in as hard to Rougui Odor, but second base is somewhat taken. And if Elvis Andrus's offensive numbers aren't good at shortstop, you can't move him to third base. And that's even more of an offensive position where you expect 25 home runs and 80-plus RBIs. And so you can't take his numbers at short and go, man, they're not very good offensively at short, where you can be less of an offensive player, move him to third, and then he becomes, to me, even less valuable moving to third base. So I don't know exactly what to do with Elvis in maybe the last couple years of his contract. The other thing, too, when we're talking about this is Nick Solak was a bad third baseman last year. He's never played in his life, so it wasn't expected that he could just go over there, take some ground balls before games, and then actually be good at that position at the highest level. But what do we do with Nick Solak? Because right now, as we sit today, if somebody said, who's going to be the best hitter on the Texas Rangers in 2020? I think Nick Solak's part of that conversation.
That's why I was honestly...
Except I don't know where he's going to play.
Well, I was surprised to say that you were like, oh, Rougui looks pretty good to go. Are we not looking to bounce him out there and try Solak in second?
You know, in September, and I know that Rougui had a nice September, that was a free month. August was kind of a free month too, right? It was a tryout month. We can try different things. Even the Rangers talked about, look, we're going to maybe try some different things here. And they wouldn't try Solak at second base, which makes me think, how bad is he when they practice him at second base that they wouldn't even kind of put him at second base at all in the month of September? So to me, second base is out for him.
Okay.
They see him more as a left fielder. Is probably his position, but then you have Willie Calhoun, who's more of a left fielder, and you have Joey Gallo, who does play left field. So we have three left fielders, and there's one spot for left field, and those are three: Gallo, Solak, and Calhoun. In any order you want to put them, is the core of your offense, and they all play the same position.
Yeah, that's not good.
So this is where the Rangers have to make moves. Joey Gallo can be a great right fielder. We don't know the dimensions of the new field yet. At least I haven't seen the dimensions of the new field. But Joey probably needs to move to right field. He has a cannon of an arm. His arm will play better in right field than in left field, most likely. And so I look at it and go, Joey needs to move to right field, which means you need to trade Nomar Mazara in the next month or so. And that opens up left field for Calhoun and Solak to share.
Because you're
you
probably
have
DH. Santana in center, right?
I think they would like for Santana to be the super utility guy who can fill in at second, short, third, and outfield when need be. So he doesn't play center field every day, because if I play him in center field every day, who's my backup shortstop?
Okay.
Now, he can still do that. Don't get me wrong. He can do that. But I think Santana will be best used as a bench player who's playing 4 to 5 times a week, but he's playing different positions during that week.
Okay. I do have a question about Rendon and if you add him.
Okay.
Is that enticing to pitchers?
It should be because you're getting more offense and you're taking the Rangers, who is one of the worst defensive teams in baseball. There are worse. The White Sox looked really bad last year defensively. Obviously, the Baltimore Orioles, who were bad at everything, were bad
right.
at defense that I saw. And I don't know the National League as well as I know the American League. But the Rangers were a below-average defensive team. So if you're a pitcher and you're not a huge strikeout guy, you'd be like, well, man, if the ball is going to be put in play 2 out of my 3 outs per inning, which that's still a pretty good strikeout guy if you're striking out 1 per inning, that means we're going to have to make plays every once in a while. And if you're only striking out 6 guys per 9 innings, then the ball's getting put in play too much to look at this place and go, man, I think they're going to make the defensive plays I need to have my ERA low, to have my win total up. Offensively, I think this team is okay right now. I think John Daniels is going to try to do a lot next week to move a lot of pieces to try to make this thing, this puzzle, fit. He let it play out as long as he could. There's too many lefties. There's too many non-defensive guys on this team. So he has to figure out a way to maneuver and get 2 or 3 guys off of the team that are in your starting lineup to then make pieces fit better.
Is that, not to get too greedy, but assuming we picked up Rendon, would that automatically be a stop to the spending spree, or would you be like, oh, in for a penny, in for a pound, let's go?
I would hope not. At that point, I think you still need one more starting pitcher. You'd love for it to be Gerrit Cole or Strasburg. I don't think it's going to be that. But let's just go get another nice starting pitcher. And at least you have four. We want four guys you can count on. And then let all the young lefties compete for the fifth spot. Guys are going to get hurt. It's not like whoever doesn't make the team out of spring, oh, no, let's just say it's Palumbo and Burke. They're in AAA. Right. That's great for them to be in AAA. Are they ready to pitch in the major leagues? Probably not, but they can. But then you give those guys 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever it is, and then somebody gets hurt, and you're able to stick a guy up and go, oh, no, we don't have – it's not Adrian Sampson or nothing against Hirado, who still might make the team as a middle reliever. But when those guys are in your rotation, you're like, they can't start. Who's going to start the first inning? And then do we want them to pitch the second inning just in case and then try to throw that guy 3 to 4 innings and see if we can get away with 5 innings with this combination of people to give us a chance to win? Like, the opener thing works well when the guy who's pitching the second through the sixth inning is actually good at pitching.
Oh, man.
So that's where the opener can't mask. You still have to throw somebody out there for 3 to 5 innings minimum. And so what the Rangers are trying to do is, like, if we throw him an inning and we only need 3 innings out of him, can we accomplish the goal? I don't mind an opener, but still the guy who is the guy who's going to pitch the majority of the innings, you still have to feel confident that guy can go out and get 15 to 18 outs in a game.
Kevin, I saw this come in. I'm curious as to how you feel. And Mike, Hunter Pence, does he have a spot on this team?
As of today, no.
Why is that?
Well, if I look at, he can only play the outfield. I have Gallo, Mazzara, Chu, Delino DeShields, Nick Solak. Did I mention Willie Calhoun already?
Nope.
Or no? That's 6. Danny Santana is my super utility who I'm going to use. I've just named 6 outfielders, and that's all they can do.
Mazzara going to still be here?
I don't think so, but as of today. So you're asking me about Hunter Pence today.
Yeah.
No, he does not have a spot today. If the Rangers, what I would like to see them do, and I'm not saying give away these guys, trade Chu, trade Mazzara, that gets 2 lefties off of your team, that opens up maybe 1 spot for Pence to come in, to be a utility guy, to be a DH type guy, because his body couldn't handle the outfield. Look, it made the All-Star team, it was awesome, but then when we played him every day, he was great, but his body couldn't handle it at his age. So I would say I'd like to have Hunter Pence back, but you have to get, and I say get rid of, you have to trade 2 of your outfielders for Hunter Pence to make sense this offseason.
All right. Excellent stuff from Mike Bacsik. We'll talk with you again in just a little bit as we continue
maybe
to pregame.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, for the G-Bag Nation. Coming up next, though, college football on a Tuesday featuring punches, student fines, and the dismantling of the Longhorns. We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece here with the college football on a Tuesday. We have Mike Leach audio that you absolutely have to hear. It will change your life about, or maybe change your mind about Mike Leach. We are pregaming for the G-Bag Nation. They'll be coming up in just a few moments for our crosstalk segment. Mike Bacsik still lingering around. I see Jeff out there wearing what I believe is a hat, but I'm not quite sure if it is or not. But he's doing all his work to make sure you get the best football content in your ears throughout this afternoon. Kevin, are you ready and prepared to put some college football into people's ears?
Let's talk about college football. And we start with, well, the tearing down of the Longhorns has begun. You had a feeling that this was going to happen after a crushingly disappointing season. Texas has fired their defensive coordinator, the awesomely named Todd Orlando, and 2 other...
Why is that an awesome name?
Dude, that just
sounds
like...
just a city.
I mean, but it sounds like he should be in Point Break with hanging out with Johnny Utah.
He sounds like a pitch guy from The Simpsons or something.
Yes!
It's Todd Orlando.
Here to tell you about why we're not good at defense.
On the main stage.
And Tim Beck, the offensive coordinator for the Longhorns, has been, quote, reassigned. So basically, he's being demoted. And so their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator at Texas both out. Former Texas coach Charlie Strong. He went 4-8 this year at South Florida. He's 21-16 overall there. Fired. So he is also out. Now.
Is this the time when that starts to happen a
absolutely. Your regular season's done. LSU's tearing up their field. Texas is tearing up their program. And USF is like, I don't know. Get rid of them. So what was the most exciting game over the weekend?
Auburn-Bama.
There you go.
Mizzou, Arkansas.
Okay, stop. I don't even actually know who won that game. So Auburn defeated Alabama, and that dropped Alabama out of the AP top five for the first time in 4 years. So they had been on a string of four consecutive years where they were in the top five. Now they fall all the way down to number nine. And this is my favorite part about this story. Number eight is Baylor. So that means Baylor is ranked higher than Alabama, just as we all predicted when the season started.
Nobody predicted that. But, you know, nobody can predict that quarterback going down. That being said, we've seen a lot of times when a guy gets injured for Bama, and they just replace him with some other guy.
Like how he got the job to begin with.
Recruit that you're just like, there you go, man. Boom, we got a guy. I'm just not used to seeing that team fall that far. I do question though, Kevin, if Georgia wins, will they be in yes. the college football playoff?
They will be your fourth team.
Dang, man.
LSU, I'm pretty sure LSU is in no matter what. Like, I think even if LSU lost by 20 points, they're still in. They've been the best team all year. They have the most impressive resume.
Does the SEC come down and say, hey, look, we lost Bama. We need Georgia. We need LSU. We need you to lose. Just this one. And that way Georgia can be in. We can have two teams in.
Ed Orgeron will be like, oh, dang old football. And they'll be like, so you're in? And then LSU is going to drill Georgia by 20 points, and it's not really going to matter.
He's like, I said dang old football.
So a couple more notable ranking things for you. Air Force is number 25. They're in the top 25 for the first time in 9 years. But check this out. Navy is number 23. That is the first time two service academies have been in the top 25 in 34 years.
Why is it taking so long? We're supposed to have the best forces.
Oh, they're the best at soldiering, not necessarily the best at football.
They do have other focuses.
Exactly.
It's not like they're going to Cabo, you know, in their off time. They're doing other stuff that's more important.
You know how I knew Auburn was going to win? Because Auburn is now 19-0 under Gus Malzahn when they score a non-offensive touchdown. And they scored not one, but two non-offensive touchdowns. And after they won the game, the Auburn fans stormed the field. Guess what that got the school?
Suspension?
$250,000 fine.
For storming the field?
You are not allowed to storm the field, Corey. That is against the rules.
For any college?
Yes. You saw the picture of that lady who looked like she got trapped in the bush and she was never going to escape. She was older, so that's probably about right.
She got trapped in the what?
Yeah, she got trapped in the bush. Like, all of the younger girls, they were able to just get rid of all of it, and they were just, like, nice and smooth. But the older gals, she got caught up in the bush.
That was...
Watch the video, you perverts! Guys, let's talk about the conference championship games. I stand by what I said. You can catch the Big Ten championship and the SEC championship right here Saturday on 105.3 The Fan. SEC kicks at 3 o'clock, Big Ten at 7 o'clock. So here's how it goes. LSU, they're probably in either way. Clemson, if they beat Virginia and they're favored by 4 touchdowns, they're in. Ohio State, they're favored by 16.5 over Wisconsin. They win, they're in. And if Georgia were to pull the upset off against LSU, Georgia is 7.5-point underdogs, they would also be in. But what happens if Georgia loses? So let's say if all the favorites win. LSU, in. Ohio State, in. Clemson, in. Where does the fourth team come from? Well, it seems logical that it is boiled down to three primary candidates. You have Utah. Utah is 6-point favorites over Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. If Utah wins, could they be in? Or could it be the winner of the Big 12 championship between Baylor and Oklahoma?
It's going to be Oklahoma, Kevin. And I don't even care who wins that one. It's Oklahoma.
What?
It's going to be OU that wins the game. It's going to be OU that gets in.
All right. So
you can't leave Lincoln Riley out of the loop, baby.
Okay. fair?
No, it's just the way it is, man. He's about to be the coach of the Cowboys.
All right, that's true. All right, so if you look at the college football playoff rankings, you have Ohio State, LSU, Clemson. Assuming Georgia lost, they're out. Alabama, they're out. So then that Minnesota, they lost, they're out. So the next three candidates are Utah, Oklahoma, and Baylor. Assuming everybody wins, I think you're going to get some good insight tonight as to whoever slides into that number five spot. Will it continue to be Utah? And does that mean Utah has the inside track? It might come down to whoever has the more impressive performance on Friday and Saturday.
Kevin, I have a question. What's Dabo Swinney doing whenever he goes on this kind of a rant?
How important is this game? Yeah. It's huge. I mean, it's huge from a national standpoint because obviously if we lose this game, I mean, they're going to kick us out. They don't want us in there anyway. We'd drop to 20, you know. I mean, Georgia loses to this very same team, and the very next day it's how do we keep Georgia in it? We win to the team that beat South Carolina, and it's how do we get Clemson out? It's the dadgummest thing. So it's big because, you know, they can't vote us out. I mean, we gotta go under, we gotta go 30-0. I mean, we ain't got no choice. Because we don't play nobody.
Aha! Now at the very end, does he finally put all that nonsensical bitterness behind him and point out the real reason? Because Clemson has literally played nobody this year. And the flip side, Georgia, I know they lost that game, and that was bad. They also have three wins over top 15 teams. Clemson currently has zero wins against anyone in the top 25. So let's not pretend like you've played exactly the same schedule. But he's right. If they lose, there's no chance in hell that Clemson makes it.
But is that more about worrying about this next game, or is it more about, hey, we want to try, we got to figure out how to get pushed up to number one? Like, if we're not number one and we get the fourth place team in the first round, like, that's what you're doing. You're trying to set yourself up, right?
Yeah, not going
to
happen.
Even if you can't, I mean, like, you got two teams in front of you, but you're trying to say that you belong.
Unless there's massive upsets, you ain't going to get to number one. And I have terrible news. If there are massive upsets, you don't want to be number one, because then that means you're going to play LSU, and LSU is going to smoke you.
Hmm.
So, terrible news for Shippey's Missouri Tigers.
Again?
Uh-oh.
They fired Barry Odom. He was their head coach for 4 years at his alma mater. They finished the year at 6-6.
The cat house, right?
No, shockingly survived that.
Somebody different. They beat Arkansas 24-14, but yes, he got fired. Next to potentially get fired, could it be Jim Harbaugh? Jim Harbaugh got really mad after the loss to Ohio State. They lost 56-27.
Ooh.
And I thought somebody asked a perfectly normal question. Is the biggest gap right now involving talent, preparation, or coaching? I mean, you just got annihilated by them again. And he said, I'll answer your questions, but not your insults.
Mm.
And the guy was like, it's not an insult, coach. I'm asking. And he was like, felt like an insult. So, yeah, Jim Harbaugh. None too pleased about the fact that they just got smoked by Ohio State.
If you're a UT fan and he got fired from Michigan, I just want to know your response. 877-881-1053. Text in, would you want Jim Harbaugh to be the next coach of the University of Texas?
Ooh, I bet you're going to get 75%.
Tom Herman's been
yes.
a disappointment so far.
He should be fired.
Yeah, 75%.
He's getting lucky
yes.
that he gets to fire his whole staff. But next year, he'll get fired. But if he became available... Would you say no? Let's do. I say, I know you're going to hate this, Kevin. I think Texas should hire Urban Meyer. I think they should go after Meyer and just bite the bullet in multiple ways and say, you know what? We're going to be great at college football again, and we are going to hire Urban Meyer.
Look, and they would be great again because Urban Meyer is a great coach, but he's a trash leader of young people, so I hate that. Now, Corey. I know that I've heard there is some sort of amazing Mike Leach audio out in the world that I have not heard. Could you bring it to the universe for us?
Mike Leach was asked a question, and he did not care to answer this man in the way that he wanted to be heard. So here it is.
Well, it's frustrating. I do find this part of it interesting, though. I mean, as fast as you guys rank their recruiting class, you know, in the top 10, and then you're always surprised when they win. So I think that, you know, maybe that would have a little something to do with it.
So you're not supposed to beat teams that have higher ranked recruiting class?
Well, we certainly have before. We didn't win this one, and I don't care to have a big discussion with you on it because I really don't care what you think.
Like playing with
nothing. You know, and you run your mouth in your little old column and stuff like some sanctimonious troll, and where, you know, you've never been fair or even-handed with us, so I really don't care what you think. Okay, go ahead, because you're going to write some nasty stuff anyway, like you always do. And I don't know which coug way back when did something that offended you, and I really don't care about that either. But you can live your little meager life in your little hole and write nasty things, and if that makes you feel even, you go right ahead. Okay, next.
Wow!
He tripled down. He started, went after him again, and then went after him a third time.
Would you want to ask a question after that, knowing that in the moment he's really angry?
Yes.
Really?
Because I would want to ask the icebreaker question that was like...
Talked about pirates or something.
Yeah, because you know he's going to go on a rant about that too, Kevin. He can't resist.
Man, I don't know if that will overtake my favorite thing that Mike Leach ever said. Is he was being interviewed, and this guy's like, "I've been talking for like 30 minutes now, and you haven't addressed your quarterback." And he goes, "Oh, I don't know if you didn't get here on time or what, but that was the very first thing that we talked about." And that guy was like, "Oh yeah, I was late."
I don't know if
that's
you
a,
got
that's a bold strategy to call out somebody for not addressing something when you were late and you don't actually know if he talked about it or not.
I don't know if you guys watched the game yesterday or not.
Oh,
real quickly,
man.
Kevin, I don't know how this affects all baseball fans in the world, but Jake Diekman has signed a 2-year deal for $7.5 million with the Oakland A's, according to Bob Nightingale.
Oh.
They non-tendered Blake Treinen yesterday, and now they have Jake Diekman on staff. I think we all love
not
him.
Even Blake trying to.
Man, I tell you what, if you're a big Diekman fan, this makes you an Athletic supporter now.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. My God, that was amazing.
Thank you. Coming up
next, let's crosstalk with the G-Bag Nation and see who can top that. Next right here on The Fan.